Obviously, if we add a 25-cent tax per gallon to the price of gasoline, you're going to have a boom in small car sales, and that's your act.
Well, I don't care how they do it. They can put a gas tax on if they want. Right. They can put a consumption tax
on. But now let's pretend you're president. You say they get
No,
mad
I don't want
you.
To pretend I'm
well,
president.
Well, all right. Well, let's pretend you...
You know, you've got... What do you say to the independent trucker? What do you say to the guy who makes his living with... He can't survive. He's on the edge of it now.
And
he says, here comes this big shot from Detroit. Yeah. He can just leave.
It's never painless. To raise revenue is never painless. No matter what you try, nobody wants their taxes raised. I even went this far. I said, how about a 1% temporary sales tax to fund the defense budget for a while? 1% exclude all pharmaceuticals, all medicine, all food, and all utilities. And what happens is you get $22 billion a year for 1%. You say, gee, I don't know whether I want to pay 1% when I go buy my clothes. Or buy a yacht, or buy a car. Well, it's never painless. Nobody wants his ox to be gored. I mean, nobody, how are you going to pick up the, you finally got to get some more revenue in. We're spending too much. They say, let's cut the spending. Well, you start with defense at $330 billion a year, and the welfare programs and the like, HEW, education, welfare, and health, is another $350 billion.
Yeah.
And now we got the one that's looming that bothers me is we got $100 billion a year interest on the debt. And it keeps growing. It's going to get out of hand, believe me.
I can't help but be, you know, one of the most dramatic features of your chairmanship of this company has been the number of people that you've fired. I'm sure you got no pleasure from this, but you have fired 60,000 people.
Well, the 20,000 white-collar workers are gone forever because we were building the same number of cars with 40,000 white-collar that we're building now with 20. We're going to stay at 20. That's what makes us efficient. But the guy building the car... We're, as I said, we had 40,000 laid off, and 30,000 will come back by next fall. So we're proud of that. Yeah. Only 10,000 bit the dust, and 20,000 white collar only. I mean,
you must
it's a lot of people.
You must have assumed control of a company that was management fed.
Well, no question about it. When I went to the government, they used to beat me over the head, the congressman, and say, admit that it's your fault. And I'd go say, half is my fault. I wasn't even there, by the way. So it was, I said, past management sins are half the problem. The other half of the problem is yours here in Washington.
Right.
Because you have no policies, really.
That's my next question. You have to wonder what a guy like you could do to presiding over the Pentagon. If Chrysler was managed as the Pentagon is managed, with all that we read regarding waste and so on, you'd be parking cars. You wouldn't be selling.
Is that washing them, maybe, or parking them at best? I wouldn't be doing anything else.
But can't we have a little more forthright?
Well, look at the defense budget. They scare you. $300 billion going to 330, and they say we can't cut it. Why? Well, we got nuclear commitments. We got all this stuff. And then you look at, they had a commission, and you look at the way they buy their spare parts. I always use this one because it's true. $490 for a claw hammer. I said, Ace Hardware's got them for $495. Why don't we go pick them up there and bring them over? And it's just a huge bureaucracy that President Eisenhower warned us about. Beware of the industrial-military complex getting out of hand.
Nobody seems to...
By the way, it's a protected industry. The Japanese can't compete there. I should have stayed in the tank business and gotten out of the car business.
You sold the tank.
Right? Yeah, by mistake. I was a dummy. That's right. I was.
Does Mary Iacocca lean over to you at night and say, come on, honey, let's get out of here?
Well, she died in May, so she used to.
She did. She would have liked you to have retired probably before...
She would.
She left the earth. Does your widowhood make it more likely that you're going to hang in there, or was it...
Probably more likely that I'll hang in.
You're going to be 60.
Well, I was just 59, God.
Well, next year. All right, next year.
I hate to think of it.
you have, there's more than just passing interest in your, in the tenure of your office here.
Yeah, I'm going to stay 3 or 4 years to finish what I started, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to stay. I'm not going anyplace. I'm not going to teach school, take over a talk TV show, nothing like that.
What did Henry Ford say to you when he called you in? Come on.
No, I can't tell you. He just said he didn't like me and to get out, and I was there 32 years, and I never got a good answer to this day, so.
And you made a lot of money for them, didn't you?
For myself, too. They paid me a lot, but when we left, we were making $1.8 billion a year, and they've never done it since, so I don't feel... I feel vindicated in a way, but life goes on. I never look back on that. It's 5 years ago. Like I can.
We are in Chicago with the chairman of the board of the Chrysler Corporation, Lee Iacocca, and we'll be back in a moment.
I think we'd ever... When we owed the government a lot of money, they used to suggest strongly that we try to merge and sell out to a foreign company. I didn't think that was very American to start with, that we should try to sell out. We managed to get through it, and I don't think we'll ever sell out now. We may merge in some way on joint ventures, on engines, or something like that, but I think we'll remain Chrysler of America.
It would seem that in name,
yeah,
and in soul as well, you're telling us.
I hope so.
It would seem that Volkswagen would be an interesting candidate for...
Well, they are. They're a good company, and they've sold us a lot of engines over the years. We do a lot of business with them, and We're good friends with them.
Now, you're not here to raise speculation more than
no,
it already is on the street.
In fact, I'd rather just skip it. We're selling $150 million in bonds. We're in registration. I don't want to get in trouble with the SEC by touting anything here this morning.
You have a great deal of historical significance. So you're going to be in history books for our kids and grandkids.
I
think so. I'm from Dallas, and you were in Dallas, I think, a month ago talking.
Yes, talked to big
wives were not allowed in that meeting.
Really?
In any case, do you ever fantasize 50 years down the road having all these international mergers and having a king of the earth?
Oh, no, no. I used to fantasize as a word. When I came to Chrysler, I said, wouldn't it be nice to put together another Global Motors with a group of companies that would be a real competitor to General Motors. I thought that would be healthy for the country. That's why I went to Chrysler. But I didn't know while I was going to Chrysler the roof would cave in, so I gave up all that fantasizing and had to go to work.
Hi, I thank you for waiting. Mr. Iacocca on the line.
Yes. My comment was that I think the presence of the foreign cars in the American market, not just Japanese, but the other foreign manufacturers, Swedish and French, Renaults and that, are a good and a positive thing for the American market.
You'll be brief. You'll briefly tell us why. It makes us more competitive, puts us on edge. Is that it?
Well, the reasons why is probably that they felt the economic and energy constraints about 8 to 10 years before we did. And maybe they foretold the kind of, especially gasoline pressures that we eventually felt. And maybe we should have seen that a little sooner.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, we probably should have seen it a little sooner. Remember, Japan fits the whole country into Southern California, so they always built little cars and got 30, 40 miles a gallon. So when OPEC came around, they were ready. They were there. They were lucked out. But they build good cars and build fuel-efficient cars, and we're taking 5 years to catch up. But I don't think we should get down on ourselves because we got caught in this position.
You'll stand? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to know what you did in your marketing strategy that re-educated the public. I mean, Chrysler had a bad reputation, and now people are coming around and thinking differently. What did you do to re-educate the public?
You don't educate them. You build good cars and sell them at a fair price and give them value, and they beat a path to your door. And the marketing falls in behind it. And you give them good service. If you do that, everything else, and we're building good cars, very frankly, right now. And the marketing strategy isn't much of a strategy except to say, take care of your customer. I've been in this business 38 years, all of it in marketing, and I found out I'm very successful if I remember who my boss is. It's you people who buy the cars.
Yeah.
I'd like to say thank you for having problems, because about 2 years ago, when I didn't have any car at all, Chrysler was the only person or place that would give me a loan, and I have the cutest, the best running, the most reliable little car. I have never been.
Could you not be brief
pleased.
And keep talk? Could she talk about?
I bought a Dodge Omni.
Don, he'll stop you.
And it's the cutest little car. And
thank
it's,
you very
I've
much.
I've just been so
thank
pleased.
Thank you.
In that connection, I am pleased to offer you my own personal. You've come a long way without my advice, but I have a tremendous marketing suggestion for you. For every Chrysler car sold in 1984, I recommend to your Department of Promotion and Sales, for every Chrysler product sold in 1984, offer free a Cabbage Patch doll.
Not a bad idea.
Is the caller there? Hi.
Hi. Don't you feel more stress should be put on safety in construction rather than continuously changing the external appearance? Mercedes are built for withstanding Autobahn crashes, and American cars go down with
knows
what.
Just the opposite. I spent the last 30 years working on safety cars, and they are safe compared to foreign cars. The Japanese cars were super safe. I think everybody should use their seat belts and their harnesses, because it'll save your lives. Believe me, your kids, everybody should wear them. And I can prove that with a lot of research in 20 years. I think we get off on a tangent thinking we got to have airbags or something like that, some panacea that will save us from ourselves. I don't think that'll work, but I don't even get into that.
Yes, but you but should, though, Mr. Iacocca.
We build safe cars today. I never, as a parent, ever in my life in designing cars 2 or 3 years out, ever compromised in any way in safety.
Right. I don't understand the back of the hand of the airbag. You've got the entire insurance industry in favor of it. You've got, apparently, a significant number of people willing to pay for it.
It's not a who significant.
Huh?
First of all, it's not a passive restraint. You've got to put your belt on for an airbag to be operative, or in half the cases, you're going to be in trouble anyway. You spend $1,000, it blows up the inside of your car. It's a nice invention if you want to just have an invention that started 15 years ago in Cleveland, Ohio by some guy. But there's a better way of doing it, and there's a cheaper, more effective way of doing it, and we've got off. I said, I'm going to die myself someday, and St. Peter, when he meets me, is going to say, how's airbags doing down there? Because I've had 30 years of this, and I think I understand them. It's not your anti a device like that, but we should really have state laws where, just like you have to wear glasses in states when you drive a car, you should have to belt yourself, and we're going to save lives in a fantastic fashion.
You want to be the officer who comes up and tries to decide whether the belt was placed before or after he stopped the car? I mean, how many laws you want?
I don't want to get into that.
Well,
I worked on that. I hate to admit this, I was the father of the interlock, where you couldn't start your car unless you belted, and everybody went crazy, and we threw it out.
I can make.
Well, I don't criticize them really. That you're going to have some joint ventures. We always have had. 7% of everything on a Chrysler car is bought overseas. Seven. My concern is when it gets to 50 or 60%. I'm not trying to lock anybody out of the market, and I think we're going to have deals where we get together to share these huge investments, engine lines, things like that.
Well, the American, we're just proud enough to remember that we gave the world automotive technology.
That's right.
We gave the world automotive manufacture, construction, assembly line, all those good things. Now we have to get in bed with the other guys. It doesn't, you know, I mean,
I agree.
Why can't we save ourselves? That's. I'm not suggesting that you have to tell us we can if you don't believe it. But the question
is. Listen, every invention on cars is either German or American. The Japanese invent nothing. They take it back and they put development money and they do a fantastic job. We got to take our inventions and develop them here and use the capital in this country to do those things. We haven't had it in the last 3 or 4 years.
What do you think about piecework? Don't you think if you pay a man a good wage that he's going to give you a good day's wages without all this piecework and push, push, push and have him put out junk?
Well, we don't pay piecework. We pay a standard rate, and it's pretty high, as you know, per hour. And our workers do good work, and they work hard. My only quarrel is they get $12.50 an hour, roughly, on average, to do that. They're entitled to it. The other $12.50 worries me. It's $25 an hour. The $12.50 for the fringe benefits, the runaway health care costs, that is plaguing the whole United States, not just the auto industry. I think we better get going and attack this problem, because the abuses in our health care system are just legion, and we've got to stop it. And our bill on health care costs at Chrysler has now hit the $600 million a year mark on a million cars at $600 a car. But everybody's having the problem, Medicare, Medicaid, everybody. So I think we better address what the gut problem is. I don't think a guy, every time I say a guy gets paid $25 an hour, the housewife at home calls me and says, my husband doesn't bring home $25 an hour. I said, no, he brings home $12.50 and the government takes $20. He brings home $10, right? That's right. Well, the other $12.50 I still pay for. If you want to take it home, you got to start giving up some of the things you have in this cradle-to-grave relationship on health care and the like.
How do you feel about domestic content legislation?
I don't think that's the way to go. I don't like it. It's you can retaliate too quickly, and then when you have local content in a product, if Japan wants to buy a 747, they want 40% of the wings made in Japan. It gets off to the races. I think there's a simple way. You just tell them, look, you've earned it. You can have 1.5 million cars. France, Italy, Germany don't allow this. They have, by law, they limit them. Italy to 2,000 cars, France to 3% of the market. We're up to 22% Japanese, and nobody gets excited about it. So I think we can level out this playing field and tell them, you got 1.5 million for 15% of the market, whichever is higher, until you go back home and lick some of these currency and tax problems. Put the burden on them to come back with an answer. And then we'll let them earn their right into this market. But if they're going to have an unfair trade advantage, which they do, the imbalance last year, Phil, is $13 billion in their favor. $13
billion. Going out, not coming in.
No, that's how much they send in compared to what goes out.
Well, I mean, they get the money, is what I mean.
They get all the money, right, and the jobs.
Right. What are we now, 1.6 agreed upon quota?
Well, we're at 2.014, which is, it says 1.8, but it's 2 million because of three loopholes. And that bothers me, because we get out-negotiated by the Japanese all the time. The loopholes are they forgot to include four-wheel drive, station wagons, and Puerto Rican units. So they next year, we apologized almost. We throw our hat in and say, Japan, be nice, guys, and only ship us 2,014,000 next year. It's unheard of in the annals of all trade and history. It's unheard of. So I'm not mad at them. I just want to start doing some of the things they've been doing to get productive, and I want them to self-police themselves, or else we're going to tell them, we won't allow you a free hand in our country to go to 30-40% of the industry.
Just a couple of quickies here. I assume this is imitation wire.
Yeah, that's a wire wheel cover.
Yeah, but you have to wonder. Obviously, your research people said that they want them.
I hate them, but people keep ordering them. They just love those. I don't know why.
Right, but what's curious to me is, if we just give them the basic, you know, very few people come up to a auto owner and say, boy, I really like your wheel covers.
Well,
but apparently we like, you've also got some, you've got a lot of electric in here. This is a power pack thing. You've got a...
No, that thing you're touching opens the rear windows in case somebody smokes. It goes sailing out the back, so you just turn over your head and open the rear windows.
Okay, but now wait a minute.
Very functional.
These are power windows.
Well, that happens at power windows, and this is the...
But I have, here's my question. How much could you knock off this price without the wood on, imitation laminated wood on the side that isn't wood, without the windows, without the...
We don't force it on anybody.
I know that, but I'm just curious to know. Could you sell it? You're apparently going to tell us no, huh?
Well, I'll sell it to anybody, this unit, for without the windows in it, as a little van, just base unit.
With a crank?
No, with a crank. Power steering, power brakes is standard on this equipment. A lot of good standard features. Tinted glass is standard.
All right. No stereo. Is there such a thing as an AM radio only today,
AM
so I know whether the world's coming to
an... standard. Let me answer the question. I can sell that to you for about $7,800, and this is going to be about $11,500. So there's a range of $3,000, and you tell us how you want them.
In stuff. In other words, you get the same important ingredients, the same engine, same body frame.
You get 5-year 50 warranty, whether it's 8,000 or 11. You get 5 years of galvanized protection.
But you're going to make more of these with all the goodies than you are of the basic strip.
Well, we only make them if the people order them. We don't shove them down our throat.
I know. I'm not suggesting that. Here's my question. You're apparently here to tell us that if you do strip it down to the...
Still a nice unit.
It won't go as well. It won't sell as well. Is that what your dealers tell you?
The American public likes to get a good base value, and then like anything else, after they buy their suit, they go looking for the tie and the handkerchief or the scarf, and here they add things to...
What's the matter?
...for their personality. They want to add stuff that they like.
Not much time, I'm very cynical about the way the bodies of cars are made for the Midwest and the salt that we must endure, and I feel that the auto companies would rather make them that way so they rust out and we buy a new one before the engine needs it.
When I came to Chrysler, we had a car, I won't use its name, and we rusted out because they forgot to galvanize it in the Midwest and the like, and it cost me $109 million. This is when I was dying. I had to come up with $109 million to put on these fenders on these cars. This car, nobody in the world, we have a Japanese part, nobody in the world can give you this warranty. This is all galvanized, 100% except for that roof panel. That means both sides are galvanized. It'll never rust. It'll last for 10 years. So we don't want them to self-destruct like a lot of you think at the end of the warranty period, but our warranty is 5 years and 50,000 miles.
And we'll be back. Mr. Iacocca, just take a moment. How do you feel about worker participation and profits now? It's on at Ford and General Motors?
I thought it's time. We started it. We gave them one last year, and the last negotiations, they gave it back. They weren't ready for it. It was twice as lucrative as the GM Ford plans, but they gave it back to us. They wanted
At the time, you were hardly in any position to be attractive.
Well, I guess they realistically thought we wouldn't come out of it this fast and make enough to share with them.
They're probably kicking themselves now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're kicking themselves right now. But I happen to believe in it. I think it's the only way to go. In good years, share with them. In bad years, there's nothing to share. You don't share with them.
And that reduces the rancor and us and them?
I think so.
Do you show them all your books? You got to show them what...
I have the union head on my board, and I think that and profit sharing are the way to go for the future. I think you've got to discuss these things. You got to show them the books. You got to share with them what you're up to. And then they work better, I think. And
why isn't there a standing ovation for this in the UAW? I agree that it is clear that some think it's a good idea, but not everybody does. They just don't...
What, the profit sharing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the rank and file think it's pretty good to share in profits. I think some of the leadership sometimes thinks it's making them an entrepreneur or a businessman, and they'll start reading the Wall Street Journal and not be workers anymore.
And
they'll start to think as business people instead. They worry about it.
Just for your personal opinion, Mr. Iacocca, this has something to do with what you talked about before. How do you feel about diesel engines in cars?
We canceled our whole program because diesel fuel dropped below regular gas, and there was no real economic justification, and we threw it out.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Iacocca, we hear so much now about the Japanese theories of management and productivity. Do you feel that these techniques are fully applicable to the American workforce, given our cultural differences?
No, they're not directly applicable, no. We don't want to act and be like the Japanese. We can learn something from them, though. We watch them very carefully. They're good.
With your personality projection on the on your commercials, does your company feel you're as responsible as for selling your increase in sales as Orville Redenbacher is for popcorn?
Yeah, or Frank Perdue for chicken. They do very well on chicken and popcorn. I don't know about cars, but...
Well, obviously, the agency is doing you no favors. It's clear that the campaign featuring you works.
Yeah, it seems to have worked.
I would just like to know what recourse a person has if they've had a tremendous amount of trouble with their car.
Well, I'm glad you asked that very quickly. I think it's Elk Grove Village where we have an office, and our arbitration board is also there. Around the country, we were the first to do it, have 60, 70 arbitration boards in case you really can't get an answer to your problem. They resolve about 80% of them. Look in your glove box. It'll tell you exactly where to go, and we'll take care of you.
Yes, sir.
How do you rationalize the bailout that your company got versus the loss of entitlement benefits to the hungry, the unemployed, the poor, the ill-housed, and ill?
Well, I kept 600,000 people working, and if they hadn't been there, there'd been more of those programs. So we think we did a service, paid it back in 36 months, and it's the way it should work. But it worked because everybody pitched in, not because
I did. But you can't get out. You must feel a little squeamish as a proud American capitalist that you are.
Not at all. I know what you're going to say.
Well,
when I got there for my lousy billion, there were $409 billion on the books from all kinds of people. I didn't feel bad at all. I had 600,000 people at stake. I went, I fought, I won in the Congress 2-1. I'm proud of it.